Campana's First Nighter Program. From the little theater off Times Square. Starring Olin Soule and Barbara Luddy with an all-star cast sent to you by Campana, the quality name in cosmetics. Broadway, theater time. And this evening there's a special date on the theater calendar because a new play is scheduled for its opening night performance at the Little Theater off Times Square. What's more, you have front row seats with the genial first nighter himself as your host. And here he is.
Good evening, everybody. They say it's going to be a prompt curtain tonight, so let's be off, shall we? Here's my cab. Won't you step in? All right, driver, let's go. Up Broadway, across 42nd Street, and into the famous Times Square district. Theater and supper clubs cluster in this area like pins in a pincushion. Well, here we are.
You know, my dear, you simply never see a short skirt anymore.
Isn't that what we're going to, the big union official?
John has asked us all to the El Morocco after the show.
Have your tickets ready, please. Have your tickets ready, please.
Good evening, Mr. First Nighter. The usher will show you to your seats.
Thank you. We'll go right in. Here we are inside the theater, ladies and gentlemen, and I wish I had time to name all the notables in the audience tonight. But about the play, it's a farce called There's Something in the Air, written by Anthony Wayne. And according to reports from those in the know, it promises a half hour of hilarious entertainment. Olin Soule and Barbara Luddy headline the all-star cast. Mr. Soule will play Ted Drysdale, a lad who's sure of his girl, but not sure of his mother's blessing. Miss Luddy takes the part of Anne Brown, Ted's fiancée, the girl in question. And look at this lineup of talent. There's Polly Bear as Homer, Eleanor Audley as Mrs. Brown, Louis Van Ruten as Mr. Brown, Verna Felton as Mrs. Drysdale, and other equally famous names. I see Frank Worth and his First Nighter Orchestra in the pit, and it's just about time for First Curtain. For First Curtain, the house lights are out, and here's the play.
Oh, greetings, Theodore.
All right, come on, Homer. Now, why did you insist that I stop at your house? You know I'm in a hurry.
Patience, my good friend, patience.
Oh.
Psst. Come into my laboratory with me.
Patience? My mother's arriving tomorrow to meet Annette's family, and they don't know anything about it. How can I be patient?
Right in here, Theo.
Now, listen here, you test tube Darwin. I've got important business.
Hey, let me shut the door.
Oh, Homer, for Pete's sake, what do you want with me?
Theodore, I've discovered it. The secret is mine.
It is? Discovered what? What are you talking about?
Shh. Even the walls have ears.
Yeah? Where?
Now, listen carefully. I've discovered how to make human beings fly.
Homer, is that what you wanted to tell me?
Think of it. Men and women floating about in the atmosphere like birds, even little children.
Yeah, little children like little gnats. Listen, Thomas Edison, you've been working in this lab so long that your brain spouts fire like a Bunsen burner.
I tell you, I have it. Look, one of these pills, and in 2 minutes you'll be wafting about like a balloon.
Yeah. Crazy as a bedbug.
Take one and see.
No, you get away from me with that.
Why?
Why should I want to waft like a balloon?
No, you'll have occasions.
What do these pills do to you?
They induce what I call heliomorphosis. In them, I have combined the active ingredient of helium with a new element, which I call gatoso.
Helium? You mean you fill up like a balloon when you take that pill?
Oh, no. The pill produces a chemical change inside the body, which makes it slightly lighter than air. Oh, Theodore, I declare it is revolutionary.
Yeah, well, it should be. When you get sore at some other gas bag, you just stick them with a pin.
No. It's true that a gaseous formation does take place, but the body is not distended.
Listen, Homer, you misdirected microbe. Do you think anyone in his right mind would actually swallow one of those pills?
Assuredly. Now, I want you to take some to Annette and her father.
Good. Yeah. Not on your life, pal.
But Annette is an enthusiastic amateur pilot, and her father is an inventor of ability.
Yeah,
and if you...
Annette's flying is my biggest headache. And don't mention the old man. I wish he'd invent a mousetrap and get himself caught in it.
But, Dora, my greatest discovery. You must show it to her. I want to know what she thinks.
Homer, haven't I enough trouble? What do you think Mother's going to say when she arrives here in Denver and meets that screwy family of Annette's?
Please show Annette the pills. She flies an airplane. She'll appreciate them.
Okay, okay. Anything to please you.
Oh, splendid, splendid. Now, let's see. What can I put them in? Oh, here we have it. This old aspirin tin. There. Four pills. They look just like aspirin, don't they?
Yeah. So will I if I don't get going.
Okay, well, now, don't forget to tell her about them now.
No, I won't. I won't. So long, Homer.
Good night, Theo.
Ted, you'd have loved it. I was up 5,000 feet. The clouds were like billowy fluffs of whipped cream, and I just dove through them like that.
Yeah, yeah, I know, Ann. But look, let's forget airplanes for just a minute, because I have some important news for you.
Important news, really?
Yeah. Mother's arriving from New York tomorrow.
Ted, how grand.
She wants to meet my fiancé and her family.
Oh.
Oh, I know she's going to be just as crazy about you as I am, darling.
Well, I hope so.
Sure, no one could help but love you. There's... Just one thing.
Yeah, that's my flying.
Yes. You see, Mother's older and more conservative. She detests airplanes, escalators, dial phones. Well, this is the first time in her life she's been west of the Adirondacks.
But what'll I do, Ted?
Well, just don't mention airplanes while she's here, will you?
Well, if that's the way you want it, yes.
Why, Ted, I didn't know you were here.
Well, good evening, Mrs. Brown. How are you?
Well, I haven't been feeling so well. Something the matter with my joints.
Oh.
But I found some new medicine, perfectly marvelous stuff. 6 bottles and you don't know you have any joints. You ought to try it, Ted.
Well, but I don't have any trouble with my joints.
Oh, you ought to take it anyway. It's wonderful. What do you have trouble with?
Well, nothing really, except maybe a cold in the winter once in a while.
Oh, I've got the best medicine for colds. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I just tried everything until I found this. Why, do you know I only had 4 colds last winter taking this medicine?
Ted's mother is arriving in Denver from the east tomorrow.
No, come on here.
Yeah, she's awfully anxious to meet you.
Well, now, why don't you come and bring her for dinner here tomorrow night?
Well, I...
Yes, why don't you, Ted?
Well, that's nice of you, Mrs. Brown, but I don't know where their mother...
Oh, now, no excuses. Tomorrow night for dinner, I'll get Lizzie in to help prepare the meal. What's your mother like? Does she like stewed chicken?
Oh, anything will be all right.
Oh, well, that's pretty rich. Might give her heartburn. Is she bothered with heartburn?
Well, I don't think so.
Oh, I have the most marvelous remedy for heartburn. Yes, an old shoe cobbler down in Leadville mixes it up. I'll tell your mother about it.
Hey, Mart, where's my screwdriver?
Come on in here, Pa. Ted's here.
Well, hello there, Mr. Brown.
Well, how are you, Ted? Glad to see you.
Glad to see you, sir.
Ted's mother's arriving tomorrow, and she and Ted are coming for dinner tomorrow night.
Well, maybe we'll get something decent to eat for a change, hey, Annie?
What do you mean? You know with your gout there's only a few things you can eat. Now, if you'd only take that medicine I told you about.
Oh, you and your medicines.
You figured out any new inventions lately, Mr. Brown?
Oh, did I tell you I'm inventing a tailor-made razor?
No, what's that?
Well, it's like a mask made to fit on your face. Just clamp it on, press button, take it off, and there you are, all shaved.
Gee. Say, that sounds like a dandy, Mr. Brown.
Yeah, it's a humdinger. Can't figure out why it won't work.
Yes, that's always the trouble. Nothing you invent ever works.
There you are, Ted. No one ever appreciates a genius. Say, I wonder if you'd help me move a box into my workshop.
Well, is it heavy?
It's full of iron and steel.
Well, I better get my coat off, then. Here you are, Ann. Catch.
Oh, I'm sorry. It fell on the floor.
Right.
I'll get it.
Come on, Mr. Brown. I'll help you.
No, thank you.
Oh, Mother.
I was just wondering, Ann. We'll have dumplings. And what'll we have for a vegetable?
Mother, I'm scared to death of meeting Mrs. Drysdale.
Oh, nonsense, Annette. Why?
Well, she's such high society and from New York. What if she doesn't like me?
Well, I guess we're just as good as she is. I'll tell her a little bit about my family tree.
Oh, I'm so anxious to make a good impression. Please don't tell her about all your medicines.
Well, maybe she'll need some.
Oh, don't, please.
Well, if you say so.
And can't we keep Father quiet about his inventions?
Just leave your father to me.
Well, oh, here they come now.
Well, we got rid of that with neatness and dispatch.
Yeah, huh? You know, I really think I should be going.
Well, now we'll see you for dinner tomorrow night, Ted.
Yes, indeed.
Here's your coat.
Thanks, dear. And here's a kiss. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, folks.
Oh, say, what's this on the floor?
Oh, it's a little tin of aspirin.
Well, I'll just put that here on the table. I may need some of that.
And the curtain comes down on the first act of tonight's play in the little theater off Times Square.
Smoking in the outer lobby or downstairs.
And now I see Larry Keating and a friend of his are scheduled for a little guessing game.
Mr. Keating, can you guess how many marriages there were from 1940 to 1946?
Oh, I'd guess 19,587,000.
Not bad. You missed by only 938.
Well, let's try another.
Can you guess what the latest sensation is in the world of beauty?
Ah, that I know. It's Magic Touch.
Magic Touch?
Magic Touch. Yes, Magic Touch is the latest sensation in the world of beauty because it's so new, so utterly different.
Tell me more.
Magic Touch is Campana's amazing cream makeup, and you'll never know how pretty you can be until you try it. Magic Touch comes in a lovely white and gold wafer-thin compact. It puts magic complexion beauty at your fingertips. You simply stroke your fingertips over the creamy surface of Magic Touch, smooth it on, and blend. No powder puff, no water. You can use it anytime, anywhere, and it literally performs miracles on your skin. Gives you that new complexion loveliness that women are demanding today. The unmade-up look. Yes, Magic Touch is the new kind of sheer makeup for achieving today's flattering fashion of complexion beauty. A fragile, delicate, Dresden doll-like loveliness.
Does Magic Touch conceal little blemishes?
Yes. You'll have a poreless, flawless-looking complexion for hours and hours.
Do I use powder, too?
No, if you want that attractive, luminous look, and I don't mean shiny. Yes, if you prefer the soft matte finish.
Is Magic Touch expensive?
You get a large plastic gold and white compact of Magic Touch for only $1. The special introductory size sells for only 39 cents. And there's no finer quality at any price. And remember, ladies, the demand for Magic Touch is growing by leaps and bounds. If the store where you trade does not have Magic Touch, ask them to order it from their wholesaler. They can get it for you quickly.
I'm going to try Magic Touch tomorrow.
You'll never know how pretty you can be until you do.
Curtain. Second curtain.
First nighters are hurrying down the aisle to their seats. The lights are dimmed, and here's the second act of There's Something in the Air.
Yes, I'm down here in the dining room, Annette.
Oh, how do I look?
Oh, lovely, dear. Perfectly lovely.
Oh, Mother, I'm absolutely petrified.
Oh, nonsense now. We'll show his mother some real Western hospitality.
How's the dinner coming?
Well, it better be good. I read Emily Post all morning and drilled it into Lizzie all afternoon.
Mother, couldn't we take those antimacassars off the chairs for tonight?
Why, Annette, they're very handsome.
Well, I know, Mother, but I don't think people in Eastern society use them. Just for tonight, please.
All right.
Good heavens, did you hear that?
I'll say I did. And if that Lizzie has broken any of my best china, I'll...
Hey, Mon! Mon!
What is it, Father? Mother's in the kitchen.
Mother made me get into this gosh darn stiff collar tonight. I just hope Ted's old lady's worth all this suffering.
Oh, you look sweet, Father.
Well, I don't feel sweet. I feel rotten. Got a split and a headache.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought maybe your mother might have something out of all her medicines for a headache.
Oh, wait, here's some aspirin on the living room table. I put it here last night. There, take that tablet. That'll fix your headache.
Well, thank you, Annie. My head feels as big as a balloon.
Oh, of all the buttered-fingered lummoxes.
Would she break?
The gravy boat and my cut-glass pickle dish. Oh, I'm a nervous wreck. What are you doing down here, Pa?
You're in a headache. Any objections?
No, but you go and put your coat on. They'll be here any minute.
You mean I gotta wear a coat?
Of course you do.
Oh, a stiff collar and a gosh-darn coat.
Oh, Annette, I hope for your sake things go right. Oh, my head is simply bursting.
Well, Father just took an aspirin. Why don't you? It'll help your headache.
Yes, give me one. Right. Of course, they're not as good as my headache milk, but they'll do. Oh, thank you, dear.
I talked to Ted on the phone this afternoon, and he said his mother was having trouble getting used to the altitude out here.
Well, maybe it'll make her a little dizzy, and she won't be able to stay so long. Ah!
Here he comes.
Where?
Mother, look!
Pa! Pa, what in the name of goodness do you think you're doing?
He's floating right up. He's on the ceiling.
Well, what do you think of this, Maud? Imagine me up here on the ceiling.
Oh, listen, you old coyote. You come down from there this minute.
Well, I would if I could, but I don't seem to be able to do nothing about it.
Oh, Mother, he's playing a joke.
Well, it ain't funny.
You know, I never realized till now how things look to a fly.
Oh. Horatio Brown, what's holding you up there on that ceiling?
Search me. I just suddenly found myself up here. Say, Maud, your ceiling's dirty.
Oh. Mother, they're liable to ring the bell any minute.
Don't worry, dear. I'll get a broom and sweep that old buzzard down from there.
Mother!
Oh, Anne! I'm going up in the air, too!
I know, I see you.
That's a ticket, Maud. Come on up.
Mother, what's making you do this?
Oh, I wish I knew. I've never done it before.
You suppose it's something we ate, Maud?
I'll bet this is another of your wild-eyed inventions, Horatio Brown.
No, it ain't. I'm innocent. I just floated up here like you did.
But can't you get down?
Well, I don't know how.
Do you feel all right?
Fine. A little gas on my stomach, maybe.
You've always been full of hot air. Wait till I grab this chandelier.
No, I don't mind this up here at all. Takes a load off my feet. I think I'll stretch out.
You'll do nothing of the kind. You invent a way to get us down on that floor.
But it just isn't possible for people to float in the air like this.
It ain't possible, Annette, but your mother and I are doing it.
Oh, but what in heaven's name will Mrs. Drysdale think?
It'll be mild to what I'm already thinking. Oh, I feel like a fairy dancing around here on the ceiling.
A little heavy for a fairy, Maud. More like a Boeing bomber.
If you can just get down around the chandelier, Mother, I'll stand on a chair and pull you down.
Be like landing a Zeppelin.
I'm trying to work down to the chandelier, Anne.
Well, you do if you get her down. She'll need an anchor to hold her in her chair.
Oh, you're a big help. Why don't you do something?
Why should I? I like it here. Just wondering if my clothes will float when I take them off to go to bed.
Oh, it's the front door. They're here.
Oh, Anne, I'm so sorry. Oh, this is dreadful.
What'll I do?
Bring them in.
Oh, I can't. She'll think we're all crazy.
Well, ain't we?
Anne, nobody answered the front door, so we just walked right... Great balls of fire. What's happened to your mother and father?
In the name of mercy, Ted, what kind of people are these hanging on chandeliers?
Oh, Mrs. Drysdale, I'm so sorry. We're so up in the air.
Up in the air? I heard the altitude in Denver was high, but I didn't know it was so high people walked on their ceilings.
Oh, Mrs. Drysdale, I hope you'll excuse me for not coming down.
Indeed.
But, Anne, what started this?
I haven't the slightest idea. All of a sudden, Father just floated up like a feather, and in a few minutes, Mother followed him.
I tell you, Ted, we had roast duck last night. I suppose that might have done it.
Do you mean to tell me, Ted, that this is the family you propose marrying into?
Oh, Mrs. Drysdale, this is most unusual. We don't do this all the time.
Oh, well, that's a comforting thought.
Oh, I forgot, Mother. This is Annette.
Annette, huh? Seems to me it would be our nut. Ted, this place is a madhouse.
Well, Mother, I don't know what's happened, but if you'll just wait a minute, maybe we can straighten this out.
Oh, to think of my son marrying into a band of trapeze artists.
Listen, Mrs. Brown, I'm taking my coat off.
Yes.
And now I'm going to hang on to one sleeve and toss the coat up to you.
Oh,
you yes. Grab it, and then I can pull you down.
Oh, Ted, you're a genius.
You ready?
Yes.
Here it comes.
I got it.
Oh, grand, Ted.
All right. Now we pull you down. One, two, three. And you're down.
Oh, you don't know what this means to me. I feel like I've been in another world.
Just sit down here, Mother.
Yes. Oh.
Hey.
Oh, mercy alive, look at her. She's floating back up again.
I tell you, you can't keep a good woman down.
Oh, Mother.
Oh, it's no use. I don't know what I've done to deserve this.
Marty, you're an angel. If you ever venture outdoors, you'll go to heaven sure shooting.
Oh, this is more than I can stand.
Say, I just thought of something. Has Homer been over here today?
Oh, no. Why?
I'll bet my right leg he knows something about
this. Well, let's call him up.
No, I'm going over and get him. I'll bring him back in 10 minutes.
Ted, now, Ted, you can't leave me here with these people.
Please don't worry, Mrs. Drysdale. We're really all right.
Oh, this excitement. It's given me a murderous headache.
Oh. Why don't you take one of these aspirins, Mrs. Drysdale? I'll get you some water.
Oh, yes. Yes, I need one, dear. Give it to me.
Here, this will quiet your nerves.
Oh, dear, I hope so.
The curtain comes down on the second act of tonight's play in the little theater off Times Square.
Looking downstairs, we're in the outer lobby only.
Now I see Larry Keating wearing a smile from ear to ear.
Yes, I'm smiling. I'm really rejoicing because so many women across America are rejoicing, too. They're genuinely happy because, once again, their favorite hand lotion, good, dependable Italian balm, is back again.
It was really a hardship during the war not to have Italian balm. But now, its dependable, quick-soothing, softening protection is mine again. And my hands are so completely free of dryness and roughness.
And remember, ladies, please, this is the month of March, the windy, blustery month, when your skin needs sturdy protection against dryness. Use Italian Balm regularly every day. Let the fine quality of its good ingredients help your hands look more youthful, prettier.
Italian Balm is so thrifty, too. One drop takes care of both hands.
Curtain, last curtain.
The first nighters are all in their seats, ready for the last act. And there goes the curtain.
Mrs. Drysdale, I hope you're not going to judge us completely by this dreadful first impression.
Oh, really, Mrs. Drysdale? I can trace my ancestry back to the Robins of Boston.
Robins, eh? I think it ought to be the Bullfinches of Brooklyn.
Not bad, Mrs. Dry, not bad.
I'm really a very home-loving person, and I do love Ted.
Young lady, if Ted and I ever get out of here alive, I'll take him so far away from here, he'll never see you again.
Oh, Mrs. Drysdale.
Wait a minute. What's the matter with me? Oh, I feel so strange.
Mrs. Drysdale, you're taking off.
Oh, mercy. Mercy to goodness, it's gotten me now. Help me. Help me.
I can't. You're up too high.
Bumped her head on the ceiling.
I'm sure we're a pretty sight taken off, Mrs. Drysdale.
Oh, I knew if I stayed in this house, it would happen to me, too.
Yep, we're all floating in the same air now.
It must be some kind of a disease, and I've caught it.
Well, then why doesn't Anne fly around?
Yes. What makes you immune, Annette?
I don't know, and I'm beginning to think there must be something the matter with me, because I don't.
No, sir. You're all wrong.
Well, what do you mean? Do you know the cause of this?
Well, floating around up here, I've been doing a little noodling on the subject. Have you noticed that it's only us old folks that's affected?
Why, yes, you're right.
Well, what's that got to do with it, Pa?
Well, that's what I'm coming to. Now, don't the Bible say, ashes to ashes, dust to dust?
Yes, those are the very words.
Well, don't dust blow around and float in the air?
Of course.
Well, we're just getting on in age. Here we are. Blown around. Soon we'll just return to dust.
Mr. Brown, I think you're right.
You mean we're going to dry up and blow away?
Yep, Maud. Won't be long before we'll just be something that gets into people's eyes.
You know, realizing that, it's given me a different outlook on life already.
Oh, it scares me.
Oh, shucks, you gotta go sometime. This sure's a novel way.
Mrs. Brown, you know your husband is a very unusual man.
Well, I guess I never appreciated Horatio.
His is an amazing philosophy. A rich, deep understanding of life and the world.
That's right, Mrs. Dry. I'm a philosopher.
Oh, I feel happier up here by the chandelier. Now that I have your outlook of life, Mr. Brown.
Well, as long as we're stuck up here, might as well have some fun. Ever been up in an airplane, Mrs. Dry?
No, I never have. But this experience makes me think I might enjoy it.
Well, Annette down there is a wonderful pilot. She flies her own plane.
Oh, really? Annette, if I ever get down, would you take me for a ride in your aeroplane?
Why, yes, I'd love to, Mrs. Drysdale.
Wait there a second, Mrs. Dry. I'll give you a push over to the other side of the room. That'll sort of give you an idea how it feels.
Oh, Horatio, don't start getting funny with Mrs. Drysdale.
Oh, no. Really, I want him to. Go ahead. Push me, Mr. Brown.
All right. There you go.
Looks like it's fun. Push me the other way.
Well, wait till I brace myself against the chandelier. All right. There you go.
Oh, gee, I feel so lonesome down here on the floor. Isn't there any way I can get up there, too?
You ain't old enough, Annette.
Oh, listen, well, there comes Ted back.
Won't he be surprised to see me up here?
Homer's with him. Ted!
Yeah?
Ted, look what's happened since you left.
What do you mean, Ed? Jumping Jupiter! Mother!
Yes, Ted. I'm up here, too, but don't worry. I'm enjoying it.
Hooray, hooray. It works. It works.
What
it works.
Works?
Look at them up there. Even your mother. I never dared hope that anyone that size would have said.
What do you mean, that size?
Homer, what do you know about this? Know about it? I know everything about it, my good friend. My pills induced the ascension, didn't they?
What pills?
The pills I gave you last night.
Holy smoke, I put them in this pocket. They're not there.
Wait a minute, Ted. Were they in an aspirin tin?
Precisely, yeah. Annette. A little aspirin box.
Oh, for goodness sake, then I'm to blame. They fell out of your pocket last night, Ted. Here they are. I've been giving them as aspirin.
Oh, no. Thank you, Annette. Thank you profusely. You've proved that my discovery really works.
You mean you're responsible for this, Homer Makepeace?
Yes, ma'am. Isn't it wonderful?
You know, son, I think you've got something there.
Then we're not blowing away dust to dust?
No, I guess not, Ma.
Oh, but it was such a lovely thought.
Now, listen here, Homer. Your pills got them up there. Now, how do you get them down?
Why, all they have to do... Oh, I never thought of that.
Never thought of it?
No, I devoted all my time to getting them up. I forgot about the rest.
Oh, good grief.
Well, never mind, Ted. Now, we're perfectly happy. Oh, help, I'm falling.
Look out, here comes Father.
What a bump.
Well, what brought you down, Father?
Well, don't ask me. I just came down like I went up for no good reason. Oh, my ankle. Oh,
Homer, do you know what happened?
I'm sorry, Theodore, but I'd have to examine Mr. Brown with my instruments.
No, you don't.
The effect of the pill may have worn off.
Oh, help!
Look out, they're dropping like flies. Four!
It's your mother, Anne.
Oh, poor mother.
Oh, it's all right. I fell on the sofa. Get ready for Mrs. Drysdale. She'll be falling next.
Yeah. Come here, Homer. Get ready to catch Mother. Here, I'll help you.
Yeah, we're ready.
Catch her. There she comes.
All right, come on, Mother.
What a thrilling experience.
Are you all right, Mrs. Drysdale?
I'm quite all right. Just fine.
Mother, I hope you're not going to let this influence you against Annette and her family.
Influence me? Well, I should say not. Annette's a dear. She's going to take me for a ride in her aeroplane.
What?
Yes, and her mother's as sweet as can be. But her father... Oh, there's a man.
Well, then you mean I can marry him?
Why, of course. The sooner the better.
Well, I'll be... Hey, Homer.
Yes, Theo?
Do you have any more of those pills at home?
Oh, yes. A whole crock full of them.
Oh, boy, come on, Anne. Let's us swallow a couple and take off together.
And the curtain falls on the final act of another original play in the Little Theater on Times Square. Mr. Soleil and Miss Lottie are in front of the footlights. The audience is giving them an ovation. The play's a hit. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we want to issue a special invitation to you and your family to join us again when another brand new play entitled The Green Leprechaun will be presented in the Little Theater off Times Square. It's a love story, the kind that tugs at your heartstrings as it puts a smile on your lips. Your whole family will enjoy it. Be sure to join us next week, same time, same stations. And ladies, you'll never know how pretty you can be until you try Magic Touch. Now we move out of the theater and into the street.
Here's your cab, Mr. First Nader.
Thank you. Good night. Campana's First Nighter program, starring Barbara Luddy and Olin Soule, is a copyrighted radio feature. Tonight's play was pure fiction and did not refer to real people or actual events. Scratching and irritated skin can cause serious infection. If you're troubled with skin irritation caused by eczema, hives, winter rash, use DDD Prescription, the cooling antiseptic liquid that brings relief from irritating skin discomfort almost instantly. Ask for DDD Prescription. Trial bottle, 35 cents at any drugstore.
The First Nighter program came to you over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.